Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Pat Cassidy.
Hey, I'm Robbie Grote.
Hello, I'm Braden Lawrence.
I'm Connor Jacobus. Name is The Districts.
So we're going to have some fun with that name from Pennsylvania in a few minutes, because, boy, you can have so much fun with the name of where you're from. So we'll get on that. Wilbur Chocolates there. I didn't know a thing about that, so that's kind of exciting.
Well, a lot of people don't know. I started this band. No, I'm just kidding. I joined this band like a couple months ago.
Yeah, you're the new guy.
I'm the new guy.
fun fact, our roommate, Brashan, actually writes all of our music and sings on the records. But it's kind of a secret, so
don't tell anyone.
He's
your co-songwriter.
Little known fact about The Districts is that we only eat shrimp.
This is the second record, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we'll get to the label, and we'll get to all the fun stuff. But this is my favorite place, not in this room, by the way, but this is my favorite place to talk to a band, that place where the buzz is starting to happen. And that also means that audiences, your fans, are showing up for two reasons. One, because they actually know, or two, because they've heard. Has the expectation been accurate of, you know, knowing where you are?
There's the side of it that feels like it feels right. It feels like how we kind of expected it to be. And but then also, I mean, there's definitely a lot you just don't, a lot of it just kind of you couldn't have expected. Like, none of us expected, like, this, like a sold-out show in San Francisco or... And you also don't really think about, well, before we started touring in general, like, because there are hard parts of it too. You don't expect to be getting up at 8 a.m. after, like, getting to a hotel at, like, 3 a.m. or something. You know what I mean? I mean, which obviously isn't, no, it's obviously isn't the end of the world, but it's just, there's definitely different sides of things from, it's, I guess it's just very not, what we expected in good and bad ways. One of the first tours we did with Pine Barrens, our friends, actually, and we're like, you roll into these people let you crash at their house, and you're like all exhausted, and you like hang out for a little bit, and then we were all like starting to go to bed, and then all of their roommates came home and had like a huge party. Yeah, it's like,
that's definitely like a job as well as a passion. So like, there's definitely times where you just want to sleep instead of, like, not sleep. So, I like to sleep, but I also like to, like, go crazy.
In the buzz, as you're talking to people, what are you going to attempt to replace it with to get them back on track?
Since we've been a band for 5 years, it's like the last 5 years we've been dealing with being a quote-unquote young band, which we are, when it's not like we're not saying we're not young. But, like, yeah, we've always been dealing with it, so we're just, like, sick of it. We're like, yeah, we're just a band who plays music, so. It's not, like, something we think about, like, writing songs about high school girlfriends. And
it's the producer-artist relationship.
Well, they got the Grammy-winning St. Vincent guy, who also did Cloud Nothings, which you discovered a couple of weeks ago, I read that.
Who found him? Who discovered him? How did that happen? Because it is a nice badge.
We pretty much wanted a producer for the record, or like, and he was our first choice, just because like we knew he did like obviously St. Vincent, like Angel Olsen, and a bunch of records we like, and then we just went on his Wikipedia, like, oh shit, he did like all these records we didn't know he did, and then so he's great, and then he's like the nicest guy. Yeah, that was the label that actually made it happen. Yeah, we're like, get us that guy. Yeah, no, Fat Possum is amazing.
They contacted us, like, well, we first got into contact with Fat Possum from our lawyer, because he used to work with them, with a couple other bands, but, yeah, we just, like, kept, like, talking with him, meeting with him, and, yeah, eventually, just, like, we just see that they kind of just got our vibe as a band, like, what we were going for, and we really like their grassroots mentality about how like Fat Possum all started is a very awesome story. And
yes, there's a lot of stuff that happens with the vocals. There's a lot of, and it's not cheating, and it's not auto tune, But there's filtering, there's phasing on some of the sounds. There's some pretty neat stuff.
Like all the vocal tracks and all the music tracks were done together, but then we did like remote mixing. So it was like we were home because we were leaving for a tour soon, and he was back at his studio in Dallas. But like we had talked about a lot of the ideas beforehand of what we wanted from it. And obviously he had creative input too because we were separate, but there's a lot of back and forth. Like he would send us a rough mix, and then we'd be like, oh, what if we did this with that, or what if we didn't do this with that, or whatever. So I mean, it's definitely still collaborative for the majority of that stuff, but because I mean, a lot of times when you mix with people in general, it's like the band just sits on the couch for like 5 hours, and then after that it's like, oh, what do you think of this, and you're like, oh, do this. So it was kind of the same thing, just we were at home.
The sequencing of the record was really interesting to me because it rocks, and then in the middle, it gets kind of more mellow, and then it rocks again. So, and I know I did that very simplistically, but that is a choice. You also have a really long song on there in Young Blood, which we all know, we don't all know, but I'm about to repeat it, is a live favorite. But when you put down these songs, and when you were thinking about the record, did you think about the sequencing and how it was going to flow when you were putting down the songs? Did you have a sense of that? Did that affect certain ways you recorded the songs in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think it really affected how we recorded them. There were a lot of ideas we had about specific orders, but I mean, the main idea, I guess, was always just like we always like to think of records as a full piece of something, not just a collection of random songs. We definitely try to have some kind of unique flow to it somehow. So I think tried to kind of didn't want to tire people out too long.
I guess it changed a lot actually after the mixes were actually done, once we could see like the songs in full form and then kind of like put them in the order we felt that was best. Yeah, that was on tour too. So we were like in the van just trying out like a ton of different orders. But, yeah, I think we picked a good one.
And probably, I guess, like, playing the songs live helped out a lot just because we have to transition from each song, so...
How do you pronounce it? L-I-T-I-T-Z?
Lidditz.
Okay. Lidditz. There's a lot of... There's a huge French community.
Seriously?
Yeah, no. No, I'm serious. And then... So, after school, we would just go down... We would go down to the pharmacy... We go down to the pharmacy and get baguettes and it's home of culture, you know. There's a huge French and
sturgeons, pretzels.
Yeah. Brie cheese and hard pretzels.
I'm not buying.
There's
the
Eiffel
Tower there.
Yeah, Lille.
No, that would be the Lille Eiffel Tower, because in French it's got to be southern. Okay, you ready? I only pull this out when it really pisses me off. I have a problem with certain blogs, and particularly ones that have very erudite, snooty writers. And I just happen to have one here that I want to pull, but when you are as young as you, or maybe a couple of years older, and you've been given a huge audience, and then you suddenly think your job is to prove how incredibly literate you are. In these songs, youthful energy and belief manifests in effort. While the band trudges dutifully behind him, the lead singer furrows his brow and intently scratches out his thoughts with the intent of giving everyday occurrences some true gravitas. I have a freaking master's degree and I'm a writer, and I don't use gravitas. Unfortunately, I don't even know this word, and I'm a writer. His logger, L-O-G-O-R-R-H-E-H.
I actually looked that word up.
Did you?
It means...
Unable to take a crap?
No, it means, like, wordiness. That word means wordiness, or, like, something like
that. Well, good for him. Muddles his perspective as the transitions from feelings to lyrics... lessens the impact of his words. He's getting a beer during this one. Rather than deepening their residence. I'll read them all at once, and then I want you each to go for it. Unless you want to be nice and really want a better rating next time. Or the main issue with the districts is they just haven't found a way to channel their energy and ambition into memorable hooks. Let's see. Melody and gritted ambience is all the districts have. With Songcraft plotting tempo, waver. Oh, I'm sorry. I did it wrong. Whereas Dylan Baldy uses velocity and distortion to counterbalance his facility with Songcraft plotting tempo, wavering melody, and gritted ambience is all the districts have. The few bits of trickery, blah, 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 blah. It's easy to call Grode out for a lack of sensitivity, but while Suburban Smell may stink of piss and vinegar platitude, it's the rare time where you truly know where he's coming from. Where the districts are a millennial band in age and disposition rather than millennial and simply sounding like they could have scored some MTV2 play at the turn of Y2K. This guy, whoever he is an effing idiot.
Well, we've kind of hated that blog for a long time, Pitchfork. They've hated on a lot of bands we like, and but they're also very contradicting because I've read reviews. Well, they like contradict themselves, and like I think they're kind of hypocritical in the ways they talk about a lot of different bands. It was annoying just because of their pretentious. Yeah, but yeah, we like knew they would hate us, and we hated them already. So it was annoying, but kind of just like wanted to squash the bug. Like we wish we could squash the bug, not that bug, but
yeah. I still don't like. It's really like there's a lot of like misfactual things, like the Suburban Smells. Like they pretty much got the meaning completely wrong, and think it's like he's calling football a retard dance, but really that's like not what it is. And then there's like a lot of just misfactual things that like
they refer to like a cliche lyric in Fourth and Roebling about drinking wine, which is in a different song.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.